It's sleepy time now. It's quiet time for this podcast. I decided it was about time that I took my terrible sound quality one step further. So on today's show, we're going to listen to songs that have terrible sound quality. And you know, I really do think I am the number one fan of ham radio because nobody else knows all these songs like I know them. So when I listen back, it's just every song is great because I already know them all and I know that I like them. And I am definitely going to be the number one fan of this particular episode because if you don't know a song already, if it hasn't already sunk into your brain, hearing incredibly low fidelity fucking demos of songs and shit is probably not gonna float your boat. But I like songs like this sometimes, you know, just like so, I don't know, like shit you fucking recorded in your fucking living room off a ghetto blaster or something, you know, just like bullshit sounding, but you get that insulated sound, you know, like you're just deep inside your own brain, just kind of buried under a layer of static. And how I had the idea to do this show is I just got the bonus tracks from the re-release of Shame About Ray, the old Lemonheads album. And it's got all these demos. And it just shocks me over and over. Every time I hear a new version of the song My Drug Buddy off that album, it is just fucking retarded how good this song is. So this is the demo that I'd never heard before, but like, man, this song just holds up. And I'm also gonna play the demo of Hannah and Gabby that I played last show, because I like that song a lot. So get ready for some fuzz. This is the Lemonheads.
She's coming over. We'll go out walking. Make a call on the way. She's in the phone booth. I'm looking in. There comes a smile on. Still some of the same stuff we got yesterday. There's still some of the same stuff we got yesterday.
Sipping and just seeing it. left to right. Pour the milk in, I'll say when. I'm just wandering around. You're but one thing I found. Don't mean to bring.
So, of course, I don't want to tell anybody their business, but I think this would be a good episode of the show to listen to with headphones on. Just, like, lay in your bed with your eyes closed and just let all this shit just seep into your head. Especially this song. This is Roman Candle by Elliott Smith. Now, Elliott Smith was in this band called Heat Miser that were not so great. Although there was some crossover, he stayed in Heat Miser for a little while after he started doing solo albums. And their last one, Mike City Sons, was really pretty good. But he started doing these little four-track demos by himself. I got this book called Elliott Smith and the Big Nothing that had some problems. It was clearly rushed. There were sections I just skipped, you know, like, you can tell there's like two or three pages that are just horseshit and flip past, but I did learn a lot of stuff about him that I didn't know. And part of it goes into when he was making this first solo album, Roman Candle. And it was, I guess the important thing to know about this is that he never really expected it to get released. These were demos at best, and he would do them in the basement of his house, just on this little recorder, just like playing like super quiet and singing really quiet and singing about stuff that he normally wouldn't have brought it up, things he didn't like to talk about because he thought these were just for like his friends and stuff, or maybe just for himself. Like, this song is about his stepfather from what I gather, and this is just like the fucking most cold song I've maybe ever heard. Like, it's really quiet, but this just sounds like this guy would just watch you fucking die and not give a shit. There's just like such a fucking cold anger to this song. I fucking love this thing. I just downloaded a miscellaneous glut of Elliott Smith stuff, and this just happened to be in there. And it just hit me right away, like, holy shit, this is a fucked up song. So this is Roman Candle by Elliott Smith.
He played himself, didn't need me to give him hell. He could be cool and cruel. Anything.
I want to give in pain. I'm a Roman candle. My head is full of flames. I'm a lucid man. A lucid fall asleep. I wanna hurt him. I wanna give him pain. I'm a Roman candle. My head is full of flames. I wanna hurt him. I wanna hurt him. I wanna hurt him.
Another Elliott Smith song called Some Song. Similar era, one of his old songs that, and he just kind of never expected to really emerge into the world. This one references his stepfather by name. Charlie beat you up week after week. And this is the kind of thing later on in his career he would never be so. Even, I remember there were songs that they left off of From a Basement on the Hill, Abused, and I think there was one called Suicide Machine, but I don't know if I've ever heard it. But Abused is not a particularly clear song, but they left it off because it was perceived as being about his family. I guess they want to keep that shit buried. But that wasn't the case back in the olden days. So here's another very quiet, not nearly as fucking creepy Elliott Smith song.
It's a junkie dream, makes you so uptight. Yeah, it's Halloween tonight and every night. See you scratch your skin, your sandpaper throat. You're a symphony man with one fucking note. Charlie beat you up week after week. And when you grow up, you're gonna be a freak. Want a violent girl who's not scared of anything. Help me kill my time, 'cause I'll never be fine. Help me kill my time. You went down to look at old Dallas town, where you must be sick just to hang around. Seen it on TV, how to kill your man.
popping like ACC, a canvas in your hand. Better call your mom, she's out looking for you. In the jail, in the army, and the hospital too. But those people there couldn't do anything for you. Help me kill my time, 'cause I'll never be fine. Help me kill my time. Help me kill my time. Help me kill my time, 'cause I'll never be fine. Help me kill my time.
Now this one is by a guy named Steve. Steve St. Pierre from Vancouver, who's been hanging out on the Keith and the Girl chat. It has these little video windows if you have a webcam, you know, so he'll pop on his webcam and play guitar sometimes and play songs for people. And he gave me a copy of an album that he did that has some really good songs. I'm definitely going to play some stuff by him on a future show. But for this show, I'm going to play this little Keith and the Girl, his version of the Keith and the Girl theme. And it fits with the lo-fi aesthetic because he recorded this just with the built-in mic on his computer. And it turned out pretty fucking well, I gotta say. It doesn't sound too bad. So this is the Keith and the Girl theme by Steve St. Pierre.
Hey, all you us, come listen to us, it's the Keith and the Girl Show. Hey, all you us, come listen to us, it's the Keith and the Girl Show. Oh, oh, oh. In perspective, while taking names and talking shit, you know. And the mic say, shut your face if you forget to keep your place, oh no. Hey, all you assholes, come listen to us, it's the Keith and the Girl Show. Come listen to us, it's the Keith and the Girl Show. Oh, oh, oh. McNally wears a stupid toque, and Brolo's hair gets ladies' looks, so oh. Spooky D&D again, or do they think that they're just friends? Who knows? Hey, all you asses, come listen to us, it's the Keith and the Girl Show. Hey, all you asses, come listen to us, it's the Keith and the Girl Show. Oh, oh, oh. Is a ladies' man, just make sure it's not Mally's lady friend. Patrice feeds from the rumor mill, and Matthew Bray knows all about films, you know. Hey, all you assholes, come and listen to us, it's the Keith and the Girl Show. Hey, all you assholes, come and listen to us, it's the Keith and the Girl Show. Hey, all you assholes, come and listen to us, it's the Keith and the Girl Show. Hey, all you assholes, come and listen to us, it's the Keith and the Girl Show. The high.
All right, now I've got some songs by John Frusciante of the Red Hot Chili Peppers. This is an undeniably talented guy. there's no question, if you listen to old Chili Pepper stuff, when Hillel Slovak was their guitarist, and then when Frusciante came in for Mother's Milk, it's night and day. It's much, much improved. I remember that was the first time I ever heard of the Red Hot Chili Peppers was I saw the video for Taste the Pain, and I thought that was a funny song name for a band that was called the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And I always really liked that song. That still is almost my favorite Chili Pepper song. Breaking the Girl is probably my favorite. But yeah, I was really young, but I just remember, it's all those, like, before I really got into music, you know, just pick up on singles here and again, specific songs. And that was one of them. I always liked that song a lot. The famous story of John Frusciante is that he became a great big drug addict and fell off the fucking planet for a few years. And this first song I'm going to play is called As Can Be, from his first solo album. And if I remember right, when I was reading up about this guy, he really was not so far into drugs at this point. I mean, from the sound of this song, it might sound strange, but I heard it was really his second solo album. He just needed money, mostly. And it's a much worse album. But it sold way more copies. For whatever reason, that one became kind of a little indie hit. But this first solo album, I thought, was much better. And this is the first track from it. I like this song a lot. This is As Can Be by John Frusciante. Images I most remember of John Frusciante. I mean, nowadays he's long stringy hair, you know, a little bit addled, which is understandable considering all the stuff he went through. I remember there's an interview with him right in the middle of his just being a total drug addict. He's in the Netherlands or something. And it's kind of scary. You know, he's not hiding at all where he was at. But I remember, I don't know where I saw this, but it was like a making of Blood Sugar Sex Magik. They were in this big mansion. And there's a part where they interview John. And, you know, he's that Chili Peppers early 90s vibe, shirtless guy, tattoos, buzz cut, some really short hair. And I just remember him just really earnestly talking about how proud he was of the album and how he really felt like it was the best thing he had ever done in his life. And he just had that young energy, this just really, you know, seemed kind of like, what's the word, trusting, and I can't think of the word, but just not like he wasn't a fully confident human being yet, but he was on the way, you know, and he knew he'd really contributed to something that was gonna stick around, that was really worthwhile. Anyway, I'm gonna jump ahead a bit now, because like I said, that second solo album of his, that was Trouble. But then he put out an album called To Record Water for Only 10 Days after he cleaned up, and this was either right before he rejoined the Chili Peppers in the late 90s or like concurrently. And I like this album a lot. It was really good. So I'm going to play a demo for a song called Fallout. And then I'm going to play an acoustic version of a song called Omission from his fourth solo album, Shadows Collide with People. And he did some cool shit when that album came out. You can buy the album, obviously. And he also released the demos. But he didn't have a chance to really tour with it that much because he was busy with Chili Pepper stuff. So he recorded himself basically performing the whole album acoustically in his house. And he just put it on his website. And he's like, hey, if you want to hear what this would sound like if you were to come see me play a solo show, here you go. And I just thought that was really fucking cool. And this song in particular, I think, really turned out better as a solo acoustic song. It's a really, really pretty sounding song. There's another song called Wednesday's Song that I played a couple of shows ago. And that one I can never fucking decide if I like the studio one better or the acoustic one better. It's a toss-up. But this one, Omission Acoustic, really turned out well. So I'm going to play that. And first, Fallout by John Frusciante. play some Eric's Trip. I mentioned them before. They're from Moncton, originally really near my hometown, Fredericton. It's like a couple hours away or something. And these guys are the king of lo-fi, man. That is their whole fucking... That's their whole thing. They kind of take it to a ridiculous extent. I just managed to find a torrent that wasn't seeded, so it's only 99.6 complete or something. So every once in a while, a song I'll skip because there's shit missing. But I really only know their one album, Love Terra. So I was kind of skipping my way through the other stuff, and it's almost shocking sometimes how terrible their production values are. Like, I heard there's a whole movement of Norwegian, like, black metal that does that deliberately, you know, like they really do want to sound like they're just playing in their fucking living room and they recorded it on their old ghetto blaster on a cassette tape, because that brings you closer to Satan. But yeah, Eric's Trip were kind of like that, except without the Satan. And I still think that there's some of Eric's Trip's. They have a lot of loud songs, and some of them are alright, but it's the quiet songs that I like the best. So this is Secret for Julie by Eric's Trip, followed by Cloudy.
Share with someone else, you say that it was nothing of something to talk about. It's true that we were broken up, you could do anything, and you did, but I know a little something.
Simple. simple. SimpleEvil.
All right, now we're gonna dive pretty fucking deep into poor sound quality. I'm gonna play some demos of Sloan songs. Sloan is another band that they're not as big as the Tragically Hip, but they're pretty big and virtually unknown in the US. But I always like these guys a lot. And again, I found a torrent of B-sides, rarities, so on and so forth. I remember I was going to put together an entire ham radio of Sloan songs. I remember the day I was working on it in Vancouver. I walked from Broadway Station all the way down Broadway, like way down, all the way to the Burrard Bridge. And then there's like a park down there, and I don't think I actually crossed the bridge. I think I went to a movie, actually. I went to see, I think it was called This Is England. It's about skinheads. Downer ending, but not a bad movie. Anyway, I never bothered doing that show, but I was putting together songs I could play and like how I could start with the demo version of a song and like break into the real version halfway through, you know, fancy shit like that. Today I'm just gonna play some demos. I've got I Can Feel It, which is the last song from Twice Removed, one of their best albums. It was voted greatest Canadian album of all time once. This is kind of funny just because it's got, I don't know, they kind of fuck it up a little and swear at each other. I heard this song was pretty popular at weddings for a while in Canada. And of course, I could just play the album version, but that's just something I like about, like I was saying, this like nice, fuzzy, warm, down in a pit sort of feel that demo songs have. It's like being buried in blankets or something. So I'm gonna play I Can Feel It and Same Old Flame, which I've played before, which even the original is a little bit rough. So there's actually three versions. There's the first version is the one that I played. This is the midway down version. And there's an even older version that sounds even worse and is really slowed down and is like a reworking of the last segment of the song stretched out. It's kind of strange, but I don't like that one as much. So this one's just labeled as Same Old Flame 7-inch version. I don't know what fucking 7-inch it's from. I don't know when it was released. I don't know where you could get it, but I'm gonna play it. So that's I Can Feel It, followed by Same Old Flame, both by Patrick Pentland. Now, this next song, this is part of my love of finding cover songs on YouTube. I like to do this sometimes, just go on YouTube and search for covers of songs that I like. And you can hear people just playing them in their bedroom. And I hardly ever find versions that are really good enough to save and to play on this show. I played one a guy did of the Incubus song Dig. That one was unusual. He had a really good setup. He sounded really good. But usually it's just people in their bedrooms playing on a webcam, which is what this one is. And this is a song called Stand Inside Your Love by the Smashing Pumpkins that was released back in 2000 off Machina. It was, I think, their last single. And maybe Try, Try, Try was the last single. But this totally passed me by at the time. I'd never even heard of it. It wasn't until years later that I finally did catch on. And I am just psychotically obsessed with this song. Like, I don't know, almost beyond sense. I mean, I can't remember the last time that I just got hooked on one song so hard. It might have been Independence Day by Elliott Smith back in like 2005 or 4. I think it was probably 2005 by the time that one hit me. It was like a delayed reaction. To this day, it might still be my favorite song. But this one, Stand Inside Your Love, it's just never left my iPod. I never get tired of listening to it. Particularly, I mean, the album version is better. And it's on the Smashing Pumpkins episode that I did. But the song takes like a couple of minutes to set itself up. And then everything leading up to the second chorus and then all the way through to the end just it seems so perfect to me. And this girl, I don't know her name, she just calls herself Jessica, does a really, really good version. And I've noticed that with Elliott Smith songs and Billy Corgan songs. It's very hard for anyone to do good covers of them, especially Elliott Smith. But it helps a lot if it's a girl. There's something about the way those guys sing. Not that they're at all similar. But guys can't emulate it as well as women can. And yeah, there's something about this song, man. It's just ridiculous. It's amazing that it got released as a single. It had a video. And yet that whole album bombed. It just passed right by. It's so weird. And I especially like the line right at the end. I'll wrap my wire around your heart and your mind forever. That always makes me think of Erica, the girl I knew in Vancouver. Because even though I'm the one who broke it off with her, it does feel like, I don't know, that conjures up imagery that seems to fit. Of, I will wrap my wire around your heart and your mind. It's just like, there, you know. It's just not comfortable. It's like vaguely threatening. This presence. It's just those weird lyrics, you know, weird symbolism he uses that don't really make sense, but sometimes they just fit. So this is Stand Inside Your Love by the Smashing Pumpkins, performed by Jessica of YouTube.
Suffer ball before the last time.
You know, I should say, to be fair, I say I broke it off with Erica, and I did. But it's not like I'm Joe fucking tough. I did try to rekindle things. I don't know. 3 months later? It was a panic thing, you know? It was like, at first, everything was fine. I was on the swing. I was fucking hanging out with girls, calling them up, hanging, you know, going on dates, all that. But everything kind of fizzled, and the thought I would always have is like, oh, I don't like this girl as much as I like Erica. And I got to the point where I didn't like Erica, so what the fuck am I doing? You know, I really shouldn't settle for less than. I should be looking for more than. And when it wasn't appearing, I did try to get back together with Erica, and then she shot me down. So we each got one in on that relationship. We each got a nice punch to the eye. And we shouldn't have been back together. That would have not lasted, so. But I just don't want to make myself come off like Joe cool guy breaking up with the chick, because I would rather be honest than be cool. Alright, I'm going to play something else, Smashing Pumpkins. There was this period in Vancouver, I don't know when this was. 2 years ago? I don't know, anyway. It was the darkest month on record since the 60s. It was in October, if I remember. It was a lot, like 23 days with no measurable level of sunshine, which means that there's such a uniform cloud cover gray that nothing casts a shadow. And I was single at the time, and I just quit a shitty job, and I was totally unmotivated to go find another job, and the weather did not fucking help. And I remember I got a Nintendo 64 from a pawn shop. That was like my hobby, collecting old video games. I found a shitload of them. And I played Perfect Dark and James Bond, like, oh man, for like weeks. It was stupid, like 2 weeks. I was playing Perfect Dark, I remember, on the hardest difficulty mode, and the only way to get anywhere is you have to memorize everything. You have to know where every single person is. You have to know exactly how they're going to react. It just became rote memorization. And eventually I snapped out of it to the point where I realized I was fucking wasting my time. Like, what the fuck am I doing? I was really, man, I was, this happened to me plenty, and this isn't the only time, but I was really so backwards that I just, like, could not get out of bed before 5 or 6 p.m., which made it virtually impossible to actually look for a job. And, like, I was trying to fight against it, and I just could not. It's so much easier to stay up late than it is to go to bed early. So I at least compromised with myself. I was like, all right, if I'm going to do this, I can't be wasting my time playing fucking Nintendo 64 all the time. So I went and got myself a nice electric piano keyboard. I've always been meaning to get another one. I really should. They're really not so expensive. I got this one from a pawn shop for like $40. And, you know, Craigslist, eBay, you can get that shit all over the place. But I decided if I was just going to sit around memorizing things like a monkey, the very least I could do is learn something useful. So I got this thing, and I got the sheet music for the very first song from the Smashing Pumpkins double album, Melancholy and the Infinite Sadness, the song's called. And I had to look up how to read music, because it had been a long time since I took a little piano course in high school, but I didn't remember anything. And I had to go through one note at a time and determine what that note was and where it was on the piano. And I learned how to play that whole song, monkey see, monkey do style. And it's really weird because my friend Heidi from Vancouver, she has been playing piano since she was like really young. And she only had to watch me play it once and she could play it. And she didn't even play it like I played it, even though my way was the technically accurate way. She could get the same sound, or the same, I don't know, it sounded fine to me, although she was clearly pressing different things than me. But just because, you know, she's got the that musician ability to just, you know, do chords and C, A, whatever. Where I have none of that, to me, it was like I could do that one song, and that's all I could do. But then after I learned it, and it was tricky, man, it took me quite a long time. There is some kind of tough stuff in there. I mean, there's a certain structure to it that's very simple and sort of does make sense. Like, you can really see, as you learn it, you can see where his head was going as he wrote it. You know, there's these logical paths things go down. But yeah, eventually that thing broke. Unfortunately, it's too bad. I really liked it. So I would go to Future Shop, the one on Granville and Robson. And they used to have electric keyboard things. We call them keyboards, pianos. I don't know. Anyway, they don't. Then they get rid of them. But while they had them, you know, I'd go to their display models and just practice and play that song. But I realized that that was not, while it's not the most complicated song in the world, it's not a beginner song. Because then the next thing I learned was some Nine Inch Nails. It was that last song from With Teeth, whatever that's called. And it's absurd. Just absurd how simple that is. And then something else, too, I was learning. I kind of managed to rig together a version of Sweet Adeline, the Elliott Smith song, that I just sort of taught myself how to play. And it actually sounded all right. I don't remember how to do it anymore, though. Anyway, this is from, you have to be a pretty hardcore Smashing Pumpkins fan to find this. It was a bunch of footage MTV took of the recording of the Melancholy album that, as far as I know, never got used. And just one of the cameramen, his one tape, I guess he still had it or something, and he just, you know, uploaded it. And I don't even remember what this is called. If you wanted to search for it, I don't even know. Very, very poor quality. And very slipshod, random, you know, it's just production footage that hasn't been put together in any way. But in part of it, Billy plays this song, or like an early version of this song, and I like this because he kind of messes up a little bit, but then he kind of wanders away with it, and, you know, you can kind of watch where the song kind of was going, where he was musically wandering at the time that he wrote it. And, you know, I always liked this song, and I particularly like it because it's the one song I can play, and I can't play it anymore, man. I'll get, like, part of the way through, and I'll fuck something up, and it's the way I learned it is that if I fuck up the one thing, I don't know where to go next, you know. Each piece needs to be done properly, or the next one doesn't work. But this is a very obscure demo version of Melancholy and the Infant of Sadness by the Smashing Pumpkins. And I think that wraps up this show, so I'm going to go the fuck to sleep. Good night.
Do you feel comfortable, like, maybe playing a little bit?
Well, I'd like to play that theme piece.
Oh, yeah, great. Are you good to go?
Wait, can we do it?
How do you feel about him pulling it off the sticks and kind of...
Is it going to be like the groovy move or...
No. Lay back?
Yeah, okay. No, it's fine.
So I'm not always shooting you back. Mm-hmm.